Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello, it's great to be with you today. I'm Alicia, and joining me from Boston, Massachusetts is Ann Sugar. Today's episode is brought to you by Equilibria Incorporated, and this season is all about profitable processes. And Ann is actually going to share with us a hiring process that she facilitated for one of her clients to help them scale their operations. Ann, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Oh, thank you so much, Alicia. It's great to be here with you. I'm really excited to talk to you.
I'm excited about this conversation because as any company grows, one of the first areas that we have to look at is how to actually build our team, how to add more staff. Now, before we get into this process that you'd like to share with us, I was wondering if we could first start with talking about your executive coaching practice. So sure. As I understand it, you coach individual leaders and executives as well as companies to maximize breakthrough performance. So can you first tell us more about what you do?
Sure. So I work with companies and many times high potential leaders who have small little details that they need to be working on, right? And I think that kind of goes across for all of us, right? It's the small little details that we need to be doing. So for example, I was coaching this CTO of a small software company, and he was having a problem with motivating his team. And what we really came to find out after we got data and looked at his 360 feedback is that his team didn't feel like they were being heard. So just this small example of what we decided was if he asked his team in his team meetings, what do you think? That just opened up the possibilities for people to talk. And it's so interesting, right? That one little simple question.
Right.
So what do you think made people feel heard? And then that started kind of the process of people opening up more to him because they felt like they were being heard. Now, you know, one thing I want to say is that it has to be authentic, right? You can't just ask that question so you can get your team to do more. You need to be authentic about it. So that, you know, I want to put that qualifier in, which he was, you know, but you can't just use these things in a Machiavellian kind of way.
Right, right. Ask the question, not really caring what the response is, that kind of thing. I hear you. Now, you have a wonderful transformation story to share with us that involves some HR hiring processes. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could first kind of give us a backdrop to this story.
Sure.
and kind of tell us what was going on with this in this particular company's industry and what led them to engaging you to help facilitate them through this process. And then maybe we can get into the actual details of the process itself.
Sure. Sure. So I was coaching an HR leader in a software company. Mm-hmm. And so we were working on some leadership aspects of just for herself. But what happened was that when we really started to dig into the process, now coaching is also a process, right?
Yes.
Part of the process is gathering the data in the beginning as an executive coach. We found that she had a lot of big questions to tackle. And the company that she was working at was moving to the next level. They wanted to have the X% exponential growth. And to get there, she needed to really rethink about the people process, okay? Because everybody was just hiring who they wanted to hire, right? That people were doing their jobs, but well, where's the next level? What's the career path? So it was almost that she was heading up all the people operations, but there was this kind of decentralized piece to it because everybody was just doing everything to get through the day. Mm. But if you want to go to the next level with your company, what does that look like? How do I be more mindful about everything that I do with the people piece? Okay. Hmm. So being mindful meant she needed to take a step back. And we did a lot of analysis in this kind of quote unquote messy phase, right? Of looking, okay, this department over here is hiring this way. They're using this recruiter. This person over here is just using referrals. To how do I calibrate even to what is an ideal employee in this new world of, okay, we have a new kind of mission and values, and what does that new employee look like? Now, all of this, Alicia, that I'm sharing, it sounds kind of messy, right? We're going to talk about process today.
Right.
But there's all these kind of disparate things.
Exactly.
That were decentralized that she needed to get more mindful about. Now, mindful and thoughtful into what each, how she was going to actually coach each department head into having consistency. That was part of this, right?
Yes.
There needed to be a new consistent process and also a way of talking kind of to the outside world, right? About your company brand if you want to take your company to X level, to the next level.
Right.
So that's how that opportunity started with her, that we needed to not only think about her leadership skills in this new world, but then also what's going to be the new process that she's going to drive down through the organization in the people front. And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about, Alicia, is you could use it in many processes, just as kind of benchmarks and stepping stones.
Mm-hmm. So you're working with your client. She learns that her company is very serious about taking the company to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to gather information from across the company, and she's learning that there are different ways of adding people to the company. And it sounds like what you helped her first figure out was, what is that, I guess, baseline or level of standardization? Is that correct? Was that kind of like a first, not a first step necessarily, but a very important critical step in the process?
Yes. So in that process, she first did a lot of investigation. Now, because it was decentralized, what our kind of overarching framework we decided was, okay, it's always worked decentralized. This is a, you know, let's all just kind of roll up our sleeves and do everything. But we're going to take a step back, and she was going to become a little bit more centralized in terms of how processes worked. Then we could look at, well, what does the new world look like after that? So when we thought about the overarching framework of centralization, that meant she needed to do a lot of investigation. So I kind of jumped in the process before. So with investigation, she went and sat with each department and understood what everybody was doing, so that she could say, okay, this function is doing it this way, this is this way. So that there was that investigation. And that's kind of messy. And during that phase, it almost, of the process, is almost feels like, oh, wow, I'm starting to unravel all sorts of different things. It becomes messy. And I think that's the kind of the big secret, is sometimes in the middle of a process, it does become messy.
Yes.
Before you come out with a linear process on the other side. And I also say that to many of my executive coaching clients, when I'm first engaging with you and I'm asking you all these questions, sometimes people look at me like, what? Or you're asking me all these different things. And I like to say, before we get to the coaching process, it gets messy. Investigation phase. I'm just going to ask you lots of questions so that we can really dig. And that's what she needed to do. And, you know, having the patience to not just jump to a process and conclusions, it takes a lot of effort, you know, because we all want to get to that linear process.
Right. How did she, I'm sure there may have been disagreements among the different leaders that she was talking to of the different departments of the company, because if everyone was, I won't say they were running amok, but if everyone kind of had their own way of doing things, and here she comes trying to say, okay, we're going to create a baseline or a standard across the board that everyone will have to follow moving forward. Mm-hmm. Were there some difficult conversations that she had to have? And I'm assuming you obviously coached her through how to have those conversations.
Yes, that is a really great insight. Super, super, super important insight, because still, even when she was working through this, people were like, get out of my kitchen.
Exactly.
I have my recruiter I like to use. No, thank you. But what I didn't bring up, and I think this is so important, Lucy, is it has to, she was doing a bottom-up approach to process about this decentralization to centralization, but there has to be a top-down for her and for many things that have to do with change. It's a top-down, bottom-up approach. And one thing I did not bring up, which thank you for alerting me to that, is it needs to, she had her leadership at the executive level bought into this. So she was tasked with this. So top-down, bottom-up. And not that we want a big squeeze, but she needed to have the influencing power that the executive board of this software company wanted, that this was needed to move ahead.
Sure.
So, otherwise, many times, that's where things can go amok. You have to have buy-in at the senior leadership level.
Right. Now, I remember receiving some insights that you shared before we actually started this interview, and I think you mentioned that the board of this company actually tasked her specifically with being able to answer these questions. Was the right work getting done? Were the right people in the jobs? How do you hire for the growth while keeping the culture in place? That's really key, especially for a software company. Mm-hmm. And do the mission/vision track to the new growth initiatives?
Yes.
That's a lot to try to align with all of this feedback that she's receiving, all of the data that she's collected as a result of her investigation.
Yes.
Can you kind of talk us through? So we started with the investigation. Mm-hmm. She's now at a point maybe where she's able to create some level of standardization.
Yes.
Then there's the actual, I guess, introduction to the leaders of what the new process is going to be. What were some of the other things that you kind of helped her through as she got kind of walk through this entire process?
Sure. So part of the, so there was the day-to-day detail pieces that she wanted to centralize much more, because why she wanted to centralize them is, okay, as we want to grow as a company, do I have the right people in place?
Yes.
Or do I need to add training? So part of this process, right, is it was messy because she's doing investigation, but strategically she needs to figure out, do I have the right people in place? What are the new types of people? If I want to grow by X percent, what does the new types, what's the profile of people I want to bring in? Mm-hmm. And then I have a specific mission and values of what the company is, and we've always liked this, right? How do I keep that? So part of making sure that she had the right people in place was she had to have those processes. So that was kind of working in conjunction. What kind of, if I have these new people I want to hire, and do I need to bring people new skills in? That's where I had to do the analysis, right? And all of that investigation to make sure I could get those people. But concurrently, on the other side, thinking about mission and values. And you know, a lot of people, Alicia, say to me, you know, that just comes, right? But what they decided to do is that as an executive team, they had their mission and their values. So it was like, I can't share all of them specifically, but we are a client service organization. We do X. They created 12 values. They framed them and put them in the out in the lobby. And one thing that they did, which I think is really interesting for any company, and this goes off a little bit from process, but not to keep everybody in the process of walking the talk of missions and values, in their lunchroom, they painted them across the wall. So you were in there, you saw the mission and you saw the values. And everybody's reviews track to those mission and values. If you were client service oriented, this is super tactical, but were you returning a client's call within 24 hours, right? So there was the, so it cascaded down with granular specificity to each person. Now, what she hasn't done yet, but she will do is, okay, we have a new world. I think that mission and values like that they had need to be looked at every year. And you can paint over some of those missions and values, right? But that was, that's something she's going to need to do in the process at the very end when we talk about recalibration. So maybe if we take a step, maybe if I take a step back, there was a kickoff phase.
Okay.
Where she needed to address the questions that, do we have the right people? All of that. Then it was about her investigation and that she realized she needed to centralize. And with all of that deep investigation, that's where she did the analysis to say, okay, we're going to have centralized recruiting. We're going to start to, each department is going to have write up their career pathing strategies and they're going to share them with me. So that's when the tactics and the strategies happened, right? Then after that, is there a recalibration that needs to happen now? We've gone through this process. She's not there yet by any means because she's still working through some of the projects that need to happen. But I always like to look at the end. Do you need to recalibrate? So are there things that now, after we've centralized, that I'm going to allow more decentralization, do I need to recalibrate? Recalibrate meaning, okay, you know what? I don't have to have that weekly meeting anymore, right? With X department. We're all in place in terms of strategically where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a tactical example. So it kind of, it lays out a process, but there's mess that happens when you're doing the investigation and the analysis.
Right. And something I just thought of, Anne, is, okay, she was an HR leader, correct,
yes,
within this company. It's interesting that the different departments, it sounds as though they weren't going through the HR department to do their hiring. Is that correct?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, that happens. I've seen that happen in a lot of organizations. When you first,
really?
Because sometimes HR isn't always in the ground floor when you have a brand new startup. So when HR comes in anyways, even though, you know, there are some people that are going to want to do their own thing because I've always done that. And that's hard because, you know, for example, in another software company, the CTO didn't want to have any part of the recruiting engine of HR because I know what type of people I want and we're going to source them. You know, I know what the type of engineers I want and I'm going to source them myself.
Yes, so true.
Whether right or wrong, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that there's an interesting mindset, and I know I'm picking on engineering, but it can be the strategic insights group that, you know, I've seen that happen there. Everybody, it just depends on who you are as a leader and what you really think are the priorities for your department. But what hurts is that you do need to be part of the process. Yes, you can make things unique to your department, but going off and doing your own thing is inefficient.
Yes.
And you do need the process. Here's the bad secret. I'm not a process-oriented person. I have never been, but I think why I bring that up is with that, everybody can be process-oriented, just like everybody can be creative.
Right.
No matter what. I think you can.
Yes. And I agree with you. Now, because this is the Business Infrastructure Show, let me first define what business infrastructure is for those who may be listening for the first time. Business infrastructure is simply a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools to ensure that growth happens in a profitable and sustainable way. So, Anne, you've been walking us through this overall process that your executive coaching client went through. If we talk about the people aspect, so you mentioned the importance of having that top-down leadership support. There were obviously also the different department heads that your client had to interact with. Who are some of the other types of people that she had to get involved as she started to go through this data analysis, this investigation, actually going through the process of standardizing the process and then looking at potential areas for recalibration?
So, well, let me just take a quick step back. For your listeners, I think that was such a brilliant definition about
process. Oh, thank you.
And, you know, business infrastructure, I think that everybody should use that definition as the starting point. I think that, you know, when they want to rethink or recalibrate or even begin and invent the process, I think that's
yes,
brilliant pillars to do that. But anyways, so back to your question. So I needed to go off track for a second. Part of it, she, for her, because there was so much chaos in terms of departments doing their own thing, she really didn't go deeper within each department. She really started off with the department heads because she needed to get buy-in from them, just like the top-down approach that the senior leadership team did. And I know it's important that everybody buys in. If you are a marketing director and you've been hiring, or your career passing your team this way, or you are evaluating them or giving them feedback, yes, she needed to start up here. Mm-hmm. To get down to, okay, how can I, you know, assimilate this across the organization? But it took a lot of work at the top to say, okay, how do we give feedback? Do we do it once a year? You know, this was in every company. When you go to the next level, you need to start to recalibrate that. So She really started with the department heads. She did not go deep within the organization because she was just one person.
Right.
So she needed to make, so part of it in a process is, where can I make the most impact? Mm. And the most impact, because I only have X amount of time and I've still got to do all my other.
Right.
Responsibilities. And right. We were working on too, how does she communicate and influence upward? Those were her kind of quote unquote leadership things. Then she was tasked with recalibrating the people and just had her day-to-day responsibilities above and beyond that, right? Just dealing with all HR matters, you know, employee relations, all of that. So she had to be very fine-tuned in terms of how she did the investigation and the analysis. Did I answer your question?
You did. And I'm wondering now, what were some of the tools that she used? Was, in other words, when she was doing this investigation and she's, I'm assuming, actually interviewing or some type of shadowing of these yes. different leaders, was there a central place where she was recording or storing all of that information and data that she was collecting?
I mean, I wish that I could say that she had a really detailed database, but it was almost like, it was feet on the street. I'm interviewing each one of you, and she created her own Excel database.
Okay.
Now, there are many other types of tools that she probably could have used, but we wanted to do something quick,
right?
Easy.
Honestly, that's what I was envisioning, was just this Excel. Yeah.
So it was department, what she found from an investigation, what she saw the gaps were, what would she recommend to them next, or what did they need to become part of next? So it was just very simple. You know, I think sometimes too, even from an executive coaching perspective, I like to keep things simple.
Yes.
Super simple. So when I coach somebody too, it's only 3 goals max. So for her, it was, I'm going to investigate, analyze, recalibrate. Just those 3 buckets for her, she really believed would be the most impactful.
And when she actually produced this final, well, I shouldn't say final because no process is ever final. It's always constantly being improved. But when she came up with the new standardized hiring process for the company, was this a flowchart or some type of a process map diagram, or was it like a standard operating procedure? What did it actually look like?
So for her, she took a step back. The most important thing before she got to the hiring process was she wanted to make sure that the people who were the type of the inputs of what you put into the hiring process. So she took a step back even before. Almost to her, the hiring process was secondary, was, okay, I want each department to now recalibrate and have new job descriptions to start. And with the new world, so before she even got to that, and she used just a regular flowchart. You could use a Gantt flowchart. There's so many interesting kind of process tools you could use. Again, super simple for her. It was all about the people. And because part of it too, if you're going to have this new world and you're growing exponentially, people want to have a process of where do I need to go to get to the next level? And that, so there's almost kind of all these little processes going at the same time, overarching this centralized process. So it gets back to my point of mess. I'm not sure people want to hear that, but that
we need to hear that because you're so, I'm actually working on a project right now for a client. The end goal is to have a process, but you're right. And it's funny, as I listen to you, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this sounds a lot like a client that I'm working with right now. And I told them the very first thing that we have to do is come up with new job descriptions. Different people, different heads of departments kind of had their own thing going. And it's dangerous because that's how silos are created.
Oh.
Especially, and that's especially dangerous when you're a smaller company. So yes, we're looking at the job descriptions, but even with that, just trying to get everyone on the same page, it's definitely messy, you know? Because we're coming up with these different, we had a plan, certain target dates to have certain milestones completed. And those who have any type of background in project management could appreciate that. So imagine having like a Gantt chart, if you will, and you have all of these different milestones and you've put your target dates out there. But when you're talking about the people aspect, which is what I love that, you know, that you specialize in this, Anne, it's not like you're dealing with machinery or equipment. People are very unpredictable. What you may think should take a person 24 to 48 hours to review may actually take them 2 weeks to really think through it. There may be some hesitation on their part. It could be resistance. It could just be that they're really, really busy. So I think it's, thank you so much for bringing that up about this is messy. It's not linear. The end goal is to have something that looks a little more linear. But getting to that point is very messy. And data is coming at you from all kinds of different sources. And you do have to look at those job descriptions.
I really loved your point. And I think it's something, oh, it's so brilliant. There are people take different amounts of time to get things done. I mean, I love your point about somebody taking 2 weeks. And you know, you want to just scream. But sometimes, you know, people have different processes of how they want to think through something too.
Right.
We could just layer and layer and layer process. But I think one thing that you spurned my memory too on this is consistency in process in terms of job descriptions and career pathing. So for example, she got from one department a job description that was 7 pages.
Whoa.
And another department that was 2. Now, come on now. 7 pages? No. So part of the process with the people piece was getting consistency. You don't need to have 7 pages dealing with that type of granular roadmap.
Right.
I mean, you know, it depends on title, whatever that is. I've seen somebody else who's just took a legal size piece of paper and had job descriptions for every group in their department.
Hmm.
That may not be good either. It just depends, but you want to have consistency in process so that each department feels that consistency of process, that I'm not being held to a different level.
Right.
Versus another department. So she was bringing consistency. I mean, there were so many little consistencies of processes that she needed to fight, right? And one part of it is to, in this whole process, where do you really want to pick your battles to begin with in this process? Because there was one department that really dug their heels in about how they wanted to recruit, etc. She didn't start with them. Not that she felt like I didn't want to start the fight, but she wanted to get small wins, right? To start with, in terms of when she was doing the analysis and the investigation and coming out on the other side with new processes. It just, you know, you do need to be realistic sometimes. I want to be very careful for all the listeners that it's not just, I'm doing all these things and it's a tidy bow at the end and I'm serving up a deck to the senior leadership. I keep going back to process is messy. It is.
It is. It is. But the important thing is to get started.
Yes.
With the idea that, again, it's not static. You will continuously be making changes and adjustments and improvements, but just get started.
Oh, 100% agree on that.
Yes.
I mean, more than anything else, just start somewhere in your process. And you could say that too with creativity. Just start somewhere. Right, you know, when you're thinking about this process, just write something down, right? Just meet with somebody and start asking questions. If you don't feel like you don't know where to start in the process. Now, I like to be organized and have questions and have to start a process, but you don't have to. Just start somewhere. I'm very passionate about that point you just made. Completely agree.
Well, let's take a quick moment to hear a word from our sponsor. And when we come back, I want to ask you a few more questions about the actual outcome of that process that you just walked us through, and also to know if there's any advice that you would like to offer to our listeners. Equilibria Incorporated is an operations management consulting firm offering products and services to help fast-growing small businesses scale with less pain. Visit eqbsystems.com for more information. And we're back with Ann Sugar. Ann, you were describing the different stages of your client's hiring process and how she came to a point of standardization as this software company that she works for or works at was scaling. What were the results of that? What was the outcome?
So for her, right now, we're not at the recalibration phase.
Okay, so this is still in progress.
This is still in progress.
Okay.
It takes time. What she has done has really recalibrated all the job descriptions. So now each level has what they need in terms of a new job description and career pathing. And so that gives them a chance to know, where are my gaps? Each department head, each manager, director, can say with specificity to their team here in their feedback sessions. And now she has feedback twice a year instead of once a year. But she's also, because a lot of people need to grow, she's also created a mentorship program.
Oh, that's awesome.
person has a mentor from a different department to help. Because as I said before, at the very beginning, from an objective perspective, if you need to grow to expert this way, people need to take on new responsibilities and new capabilities. And everybody needs to be upping their game all the time.
Right? Yes.
Part of it is, and I think what she is creating, though she wouldn't specifically say this, is an organization where people are tasked with learning, because she is very passionate about learning. And so that learning, and I say this to everybody, people ask me, okay, so what is the simple way to succeed? And it really is all about learning, right? And so to grow the organization that way, she really focused on the people piece. And in the recruiting arm, I'm going to say that that is not centralized yet. That's a hard one for her to wrangle. Okay. The people piece was easier, but when people have deep relationships and very specific about who they want to hire, sometimes recruiting can be very hard to bring back in from a centralization perspective. So that's still, unfortunately, a gap, right, that we're working on. That there's always going to be, you know, and I think it's important to say that because you have to be realistic. You can't have perfection. That's her nemesis right now, I guess you could call it, right? Is that's where she needs to refocus, because you need to have centralization in the marketplace, and it's cost ineffective to be using all these different recruiters where you could centralize a bit more.
That's a really good point in terms of the expectation around the timeline associated with taking on an endeavor like this. I think sometimes people think, oh yeah, I'm going to scale. And they hear terms like that, scaling up, for example. And I think maybe they're thinking this is maybe a 3 to 6 month endeavor. But we had a guest on earlier, Damon Burton, and he said it took him a process of 3 to 7 years to truly be able to hire the team that he needed so that they could scale and take on even larger projects and just be able to fulfill the demand for their services. So how long have you all been working together on this so far, would you say?
We've been working on it, I'd say about 8 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A little less than a year. But it's going to, and I would agree with your other guest completely, how she's going to create the engine for hiring is going to take a lot longer.
Yes.
A lot longer.
And does she have the support and the understanding of that timeline from the top leadership?
Not every part. No.
Thank you for being honest about that. Yeah.
I think it's so important when we think about the process, when you're creating that change, it's not perfect, unfortunately. She has not had wins in every sector that she wanted.
And I don't think
it's realistic too.
Right. I was just going to say, this is a very candid conversation, and I'm really grateful that we're having it, because a lot of times we may read an article and then we think, okay, well, as long as I follow these steps, voila, everything will happen magically, and it there won't be any hiccups along the way, and that's just not true. But again, the idea is to just continue moving forward and working and even focusing on those small wins. So I love the fact that you said that. What advice would you offer to those who are listening and they are also at a point where they need to start seriously staff up as they scale up? One thing that I hear a lot of clients that I've worked with, I also just hear this from people in general, well, I need to level up my people. And so the interpretation a lot of times, or the translation, I should say, of that is, let me just fire everybody and start over. Let me level, quote unquote, level up my employees. What advice can you offer to people who may have that mindset?
Okay. So first, let me take a step back. When somebody says, I want to level up everybody, and I need a new, let's just pretend, supervisor level, I say, shame on you, because you did not coach them. It's I'm not saying it's a 50-50 partnership. You need to be teaching, coaching, and kind of quote unquote giving, helping your team get the tools to learn. But on the other end, they have to want to learn too.
Yes.
Okay. So pretty adamant about that. I think that's shirking responsibility as a leader.
Yes. I would agree with you on that.
So there's that piece. I think when you're looking, and I've seen this in a lot of organizations, I just want, and we do it inherently and we don't mean to. I'm just going to hire more people like me. But when you are growing your organization, you really want people with different skill sets and different strengths. So let me give just so what does that mean? And there is, I'm not an assessment. So as an executive coach, I don't love assessments, but I think sometimes assessments can shed light on things. So there's an assessment called DISC, which is about your communication style. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I delivered that to a group. And what we saw was that there was one person that was an outlier. So everybody was a DC. Now everybody, except for one person, a DC for all the listeners is somebody who is dominant, very goal-oriented person who's really into accuracy in the details, just being very simple about it. Mm-hmm. This other person was a DI, which means they're very goal-oriented, but they were all about the people. Mm-hmm. Now, it was very hard for this person within the group, because if you've got people that are really data-driven, very goal-oriented, and don't care, and I'm being very kind of, there's nuances, but not caring so much about the management style or the feelings, kind of quote unquote, of the team, this other person, it was very hard for them to have a voice. Now, why do I give this example? Because that team needed somebody who was really focused on their people. And well, if we made these changes, what was that going to do to the morale of the department, right? So I think that as you grow, think about the different skill sets, not just the ones that work for you, but where you can get a wide array of thinking, new thinking, because that's the way to really challenge each other in terms of getting a new kind of creative process, right? In terms of whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting and diverse thinking. I think the other thing that I'm really adamant about is toxicity. When you're bringing in new people, you're growing at exponential. How do you make sure that people are really following the mission and the values of your company? And you cannot tolerate any toxic behavior. Because that just permeates then.
Yes.
And that happened in years before I worked in an advertising agency, and I can remember this vividly. And I was young then, as we grew so quickly, there became this kind of toxic kind of swirling. And it was sad because we lost our kind of creative edge. Because we were just always worried about the finger pointing or the toxic behavior, all of these kind of subtlety. So I think those two things are really important, is making sure that you have a broad array of profiles and skill sets and that you keep to the core of who you are.
Well said. And when you're talking about the DISC profile, I think is a really nice segue into if there are any additional tools or resources that you could recommend for those who may be listening. Are there professional organizations, books? I know you've written a book, so if you could talk to us a little bit about that.
So I write for Inc. magazine.
Yes.
And I also write for Harvard Business Review.
Yes. So
those are the two. I write about a diverse amount of leadership ideas for everybody out there. So you can, on my website is just a smattering of those articles. I think too, and this is not sponsored by any means, but I really do think reading, and I recommend this to a lot of my clients, reading Harvard Business Review, just even going to the site, there is a tremendous amount of great value in terms of process articles there. I think that there are a lot of articles, if you read them, and let's say you're at the mid-level or you're any level, frankly, it's what everybody's reading from a leadership perspective, right?
And yes,
it's important to be able to have those conversations. And, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can just read them on the website too. But I do think the magazine has a lot of great insights as well.
It does. I've saved every copy. I don't throw any of them away. And I'm old school. I don't read it digitally. I have to have the actual physical magazine.
Oh my gosh.
Because then I can, I can underline and I can add post-it notes and, you know, it's a bookmark certain pages, because you're right. The information, a lot of it is evergreen.
That is the way they like to look at articles.
Yes.
That they publish. They need to be evergreen and they need to be thought leadership pieces. So it's a great way to learn. I mean, there's a lot of different organizations, but being really realistic about it. I really love your point. I think it's so important to underline and to sticky note. I'm really old school about that from a learning perspective.
Mm-hmm. And it helps with retention.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Actually, Stanford is doing a study right now with college students. Do you retain, I wish I had the details, but do you retain your learning? Because, you know, now you can read your textbook online versus the hard paper. Which is the better way to learn? And they're doing that study right now. From my perspective, I'm an old school person.
I am too. I love my books.
I agree.
Yes, yes. Well, unfortunately, we're coming to a close. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for all of the insights that you shared with us. How can people get in touch with you? Because I can imagine there's someone probably listening right now who's thinking, I could really benefit from some coaching with Anne.
Thank you, Lisa. So there are two ways. You can reach me on my website, and it's annsugar.com, A-N-N-E, sugar, S-U-G-A-R, just like sugar.com. Or you can also link with me you can also send me an invite on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I send out a tremendous amount of articles each week that I think are important for leaders to read. So people can reach me on there too. Or on Twitter, I send out obviously a lot of the same articles there as well.
Twitter as well? Okay. What's your Twitter handle?
It's AA Sugar.
AA Sugar. Okay. Yep. Well, Anne, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I've really enjoyed speaking with you today. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to attempt to recap some of the things that you've shared with us in this conversation today. So you were walking us through a client that you're actually still working with right now. And she was tasked by the board and other top executives at a software company that is looking to scale. She was actually tasked with coming up with a standardized, centralized process for hiring people that would make sure that the right work was getting done, that the right people were in the right jobs, that it did not compromise the company's culture, and that they would have a mission and vision to track their new growth initiatives. Some of the key points that stood out for me personally, you talked about the importance of standardization, so key, centralization, being thoughtful as you actually go and solicit information from different leaders throughout your company just to get their input. And as you're going through that data collection process, also conflict resolution skills are also really important, because people have their own little fiefdoms sometimes in a company. Anne's shaking her head.
Oh, yes.
And so you could really benefit from working with an executive coach like Anne to help you kind of beef up your conflict resolution skills. You also talked about the importance of having that top-down support and also getting input from the bottom up and kind of coming to a happy medium, or as close to a happy medium as you can, somewhere in the middle. You also spoke about the importance of, before you even get to the process, you first need to figure out the actual job descriptions, just getting standardization around that, so that when you do get to the process, you can have a more standardized way for how you actually recruit, interview, onboard, all of those things that have to take place under the traditional HR umbrella. I thought it was also really important when you mentioned the importance of evaluating people and aligning their people as well as their skills with the culture, mission, and values of the company. And I also thought it was interesting that you said that HR isn't always on the ground level, and that's why it's very easy, especially in smaller businesses, for people to just kind of have their own independent individual processes for how they recruit and hire and maybe evaluate their people on their team. But be careful about that, because that's exactly what leads to silos, which so many larger organizations are plagued with. Another thing that I love that you said is that everyone can, in fact, be process-oriented, just as everyone can also be creative. And you were very candid about the fact that processes can be messy, or that the process of getting to standardization can be very messy. A lot of times we just see the end result, especially when we're reading a book or some type of a magazine or article, without an appreciation for the messiness that goes into creating that process. I know I could benefit from a one-on-one conversation with Anne, and I'm sure you could too. So definitely make sure that you sign up for her newsletter and go to her website. The website again is annesugar.com. That's A like apple, NNESUGAR.com. Also, make sure you follow her on LinkedIn. She has some great posts out there, and you can follow her on Twitter as well. Again, her handle is AASugar. We will have links to all of the information that Anne was so kind enough to share with us in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. You'll also be able to see a video version of this interview while you're there on the site, and you'll be able to see Anne's beautiful library in her background. Again, that'll be available at businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.